Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 46th voyage. I am the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
What's the crack? I also don't know what's the crack is, but I've been waiting to use it because I found it a while ago and I was like, this apparently is a way people say hi.
So after that weird hello, for those of you who don't know, what we do here is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
I went on a trip this week, Alan. I actually did something. I left my house.
Ooh, I thought that was illegal still.
Not if you're vaccinated. We can do whatever we want! No, but my wife and I and my little guy went away on a trip to the Rocky Mountains for 4 days. It was fantastic. We got to stay in a super fancy hotel, which is like per night as much as my mortgage is. So thank goodness.
Oh.
Thank goodness we didn't have to pay for the hotel.
Thank goodness.
I did have one of those moments, you know, like it's almost like a country song where you're like, things are going so well. Is this a dream? Like, I should pinch myself.
I've never heard that country song.
Well, I thought about it because it was in a country song. It was like, my life's a dream. And I'm like, my life is good, but I've never confused it for a dream, because in my dreams, I have a much better body. Like, I don't think my dream body is like, ooh, I'm developing breasts, and like, my belly jiggles when I laugh like Santa Claus. That's my dream belly. Like, that is not... If it is, I'm a really bad dreamer.
You don't aim very high.
A nice hotel.
I wish I had a dad bod.
Like a C-minus dad bod. Not even a good dad bod. But, so part of this fancy hotel that we're at, there are all these cabins on this big, huge lake in the middle of the Rocky Mountains, right? And one of the things that came with our hotel was you got an hour of pedal boating or paddle boating, whatever it's called, the one where you ride it like a bike in the middle of the ocean. I thought this would be a great idea to do with my son while my
wait,
wife
in the middle of the ocean,
not the ocean, sorry, this big lake in the middle of this really, really big lake. This would be a fun thing to do with my son while my wife is off. She had some work conference that she had to go to, so I'm like, okay, she'll do that. I'll hang out with my son and do this. Except I told my wife, and she was very confusing in her response. Because I told her, I'm like, yeah, me and him are going to go out on the lake. It's going to be awesome. There's life jackets, so you don't have to worry. And she looked at me and went, yeah, I'm not worried about you at all taking our 4.5-year-old into the middle of a giant lake when he doesn't know how to swim and you don't really know how to do anything with a boat. I'm like, are you... Do you not want me to take him? Like, what?
Sounds sarcastic.
Yeah, I'm like, you sound like you don't want me to take him. She's like, no, I completely trust you. I was like, once again, I can't tell by your tone. Are you serious?
She should work on her inflections.
Yeah, are you serious? Or are you not wanting, because if you don't want me to go, just let me know. And she's like, no, I think you two will have a great time. And I'm like, I'm so confused right now.
How many times did she wink while she was saying this?
Zero. That would have been easier to figure out. So I took him, and it turns out his legs were 2 inches too short for the pedals, so I had to do it all by myself. It was the worst time of my life. Like, 45 minutes. I told my wife, I'm like, the only reason that we made it back to shore is because I was with my son. If it was just me, I would have just been like, I live here now. I live in the middle of this beautiful lake.
On this pedal boat.
I will eat if fish swim by. I will try to grab them.
With my bare hands.
I am here.
This is my home now.
I am Aquaman. What did you do this week, Alan?
Well, over the weekend, I didn't go traveling, but I also went out and had my first experience with this...
The restrictions exemptions thing.
And it was kind of awkward because I was told that it's very easy to get. So I was like, okay, well, I don't intend to actually go out. So I'll be fine. I don't need to get it. And if I do, I'll just get it when I need to.
Yeah, there's a website. It takes like 2 seconds.
Exactly. So my friends spontaneously, is that a word?
Yes, it is.
Sounds like a word.
It is a word.
We're like, hey, let's go get drinks. I was like, okay, cool. So we went there. And the bartender was like, hey, do you have your thing? I was like, no, give me a second. I will download it. And I put in my information. And it did not work. So I put my information in again. And it still didn't work for some reason.
All you need is your, like, health card number.
I know, which I had. I had all my information in. I put it in 5 times, and it was like, you can't do this. So I was like, well, this is dumb. All right, guys, I'm going to run home and grab the actual papers, which is convenient. I live, like, 3 minutes away, and I'll come back. So I went home and figured, ah, heck, you know what? I'll give it another shot. Worked right away. So I sat there, like, playing with my phone in front of this guy. I'm like, don't worry, I'm going to get it soon.
I know how to use my phone.
Yeah, I know how to put numbers into a web page. Apparently, I only know how to do it if I'm in my living room.
Well, on the plus side, at least you have it now. You're good.
It's true. I came back, and the guy's like, ah, great, it's this guy. I was like, don't worry, I actually have it now.
I am prepared.
He's like, okay, but I need you to pay for anything you buy now because I don't trust you later.
Is that what he said?
Well, he didn't say that, but that's what he made me do.
Really? You couldn't, like, start a tab or anything? He's just like, nope. This guy's shady. His other friends, fine. This guy.
Yeah. They walked out, and I was like, you guys ready to leave? And I was like, we have to pay. I was like, he didn't make you pay right away?
He's like, this
guy. I'm so confused.
This guy's going to run home any minute. I heard he lives only 3 minutes away. This guy is sketchy.
It's what I get for not knowing how to use a phone.
Well, Alan, I think you had the weirdest introduction to the show yet. So, on that theme, let's go into some weird facts about the world in which we live. So, what we do here is simple. I surprise Alan with some fascinating facts about our world. Number one, Alan, do you know that, you know those chef's hats? Those famous chef's hats?
Yes, the tall white ones.
Yes, the number of pleats in the hats actually used to signify how experienced the chef was. And if you had 100 pleats, that meant you were a master chef.
Wow. What if you had 101 pleats?
I assume it stopped. Maybe they can't physically put any more pleats in there. This is too many pleats!
Poor design for the hat. You need more pleats.
Well, what's interesting is that actually there were two things about it. So one of them said 100 pleats meant you were a master chef. And then another one said once you mastered 100 recipes with a certain ingredient, you were a master in said ingredients. So like if you knew if you mastered 100 egg recipes, you were a master in eggs. But that got me thinking, do they have change hats every time they make a different recipe? It's like, oh, I got my steak hat on. I'm not as much of an expert at steak as I am at celery. I kick celery's ass. Like, steak, not so much. I only have 6 pleats.
It seems like it would just become a storage problem of where do you keep all these hats if you have one for each ingredient.
Yeah, the restaurant's really small, but the storage room's like IKEA. IKEA actually started as only selling the meatballs, and then their chefs got so experienced that they needed to expand all the storage space. Next up, Alan, do you know the voices of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse actually got married in real life?
Ooh.
Cute, right?
Yeah. Who doesn't love that kind of thing?
Wayne Allwine voiced Mickey for 32 years from 1977 to 2009. And Russie Taylor voiced Minnie Mouse for 33 years from 1986 to 2019.
Wow. I wonder if those people, if that's their normal voice. Because that sounds like it would be really annoying to live with.
Yes, that's like it's the lady who does Lisa Simpson, just sounds like that pretty much.
Oh, yeah, that'd be annoying.
So it's weird seeing her in other things, because it's like, why is old lady Lisa here? That's weird. And that's the thing with the Simpsons, is like most of them do like 10, 11, 12 different voices, and then Lisa just does Lisa. What's her name? Nancy Cartwright, I think. Look her up. She sounds pretty much just like Lisa. This is just a weird geography fact, Alan. I know you like maps.
I love geography.
Do you know that if you find yourself in Detroit, Michigan, and you drive due south, you end up in Canada?
No.
I sound stunned.
I was trying to wrap my head around what you said.
Yeah, apparently Windsor, which is the border town, is south of Detroit.
Huh.
But it makes sense when you think of the map, because Ontario, where Windsor is, kind of hooks around.
Yeah, it goes a little ways into America.
Yeah, and then Detroit's just at the top edge. The lyrebird can mimic almost any sound it hears.
I understand why it has its name.
Yeah, I love that. Wildlife watchers have recorded this Australian species copying not only other birds, but other animals like koalas, and even artificial sounds like car alarms, camera shutters, and chainsaws.
Car alarm sounds very annoying. Especially if it's one of those car alarms that has like a couple different sounds that make a pattern, and it just like repeats that over and over.
Or it's one of the ones like, wow, wow, step away from the car.
Just the random birds screaming from the tree.
How many grapes do you think, Alan, go into one bottle of wine?
It depends on the size of the bottle, I would have to say.
That is true, but the average bottle of wine contains about 700 grapes.
That is many more than I would have guessed.
Or about 2.6 pounds or 1.18 kilograms.
I did not realize grapes weighed so little, but I guess that makes sense.
Which is crazy when you think about it, because you get like a whole... You get like one of those Costco-sized buckets of grapes, and you're like, oh, this has to be at least a couple bottles of wine. Nope, it's like a quarter, maybe. Not even, probably more like a tenth. Oh, humans, we're so wasteful. I guess you're not wasting it if you're drinking it.
Exactly. What you're saying is if I really want to eat a lot of grapes very quickly just to drink wine. I don't know why that's something that you'd want to do.
Get on the wine train. I've been on it. I was talking to someone the other day because one of the young ladies at work is talking about her new boyfriend, and she's like, yeah, and I picked up a bunch of beer for us for the weekend. I'm like,
gross.
Yeah, guys are on that train until they actually mature at like, once they become like 30, they're like, actually, red wine tastes better. And if you're a man, this is a random ship fact, not about a ship, just a fact from random ship. If your man is like over 30 and still prefers like a Budweiser over a nice red wine, get rid of him. He is not a good person.
Is that a fact? That seems more like advice.
Also, if he likes IPA, that's just a ooh, I'm trying to be cool. No, real craft beer is an IPA. That's just, you're a poser. That's what you are. Anyway.
Not that you have strong opinions on the subject.
Now, Alan, we have a bit of a quiz. So the next one is about the fear of the number 13. It is called
Triskaidekaphobia.
Yes. How did you know that? Well done. Did I leave it in the... Did
nope.
I leave?
That's something that I know.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe you'll be better at this than I thought. I thought that was interesting. So I said, I wonder what some other weird fears are. And so I will give you the name, and you try to guess what it's a fear of. I have five for you.
Okay.
Cyberphobia.
Computers?
Close. Fear of technology. So that was the easy one.
Yeah.
Lacanophobia.
Milk?
Not terrible. Vegetables.
Oh.
Fear of vegetables. Lutrophobia.
I have no idea.
Fear of otters.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that.
Globophobia.
Fear of spheres?
Very close. Fear of balloons.
Oof.
I'll give you a half point there. So you're at... I'll give you a half point for milk, too, because it's food. So you're at two... 2 out of 4. Now, this one...
I also got the first one right.
This one is arguably one that I have. Pantherophobia.
I don't know.
Fear of your mother-in-law.
Well, that's just common sense.
My mother-in-law is scary. She's 6'6". And the first time I saw her, she hip-checked me.
Probably had it coming.
Next up, Alan, do you know the world's largest sandcastle was 54 feet high?
That seems tall.
That seems like the height of a real castle.
Yeah, how tall is a normal floor on a building? Like 10 feet?
I'm in my basement, and we have 8-foot ceilings here. But so like, I know upstairs I have 20-foot ceilings, so my house is only like 30 feet tall.
So it's 20 feet taller than your house?
I guess.
Nice.
But it took 168 trucks over a full week to deliver all the sand needed.
Why did somebody do this?
I don't know. I also saw there was a world record for holding the most world records, and I was like, oof. Some people need better things to do. They need to go learn about craft beer and red wine. Those people are IPA drinkers. Those weirdos. And last fact, Alan, do you know there are 40 national chocolate holidays in the United States?
I did not. That seems like too many.
Well, what's interesting is some of them, like, seemingly overlap. So not only is there National Chocolate Day, there's also International Chocolate Day and World Chocolate Day. So those are three separate days on the calendar. There's also Chocolate Milk Day and Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Oh.
Weird.
That's kind of cheating.
And there's Chocolate Covered Candy Day and Chocolate Covered Anything Day.
Starting to feel a little suspicious of this list.
Yeah, but the weirdest is, I think it's Big Chocolate that's behind all this to keep it in your conscience at all times.
Probably.
I mentioned there's National Chocolate Day, but there's also National Dark Chocolate Day, National Milk Chocolate Day, National White Chocolate Day, National Chocolate with Almonds Day, and National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day. All
Why
separate days.
National days.
What? Every day we have to be eating chocolate? I'm not opposed, but there's other stuff.
I don't even like chocolate that much, to be
honest. And that's only like a quarter of the days. There are many, many days.
There are too many days.
Too many days. Imagine if you didn't like chocolate, every day would be a reminder of your personal hell. I mean, that'd be, you'd really hate chocolate for
yeah,
it
to be that
extreme.
Yeah, you'd have to really dislike
chocolate. Anytime anyone mentions chocolate, I just feel like I'm in hell.
This is the most painful thing I could possibly think of.
I feel somebody like fire and brimstone and
uttering
pitchforks.
The word chocolate. Our apologies to anybody who doesn't like chocolate, because we are saying it a lot.
Now, Alan, let's find out what happened this week in the news. Our first article this week, Alan, comes from our trusty friends at your favorite website, Audi. Danish artist creates conceptual artwork by pocketing 84,000 of the museum's cash.
Mm. We're calling anything art these days.
Well, basically what happened is Danish artist Jens Honning, it may be Jens, I don't speak Danish. He's an artist living in Copenhagen, and basically he's famous for two of his works of art. One that's a 2007 piece titled An Average Danish Income, that features Danish money fixed to a canvas, and he created a follow-up in 2011 that featured euros and was about Austria's economy. So this Museum of Modern Art, the Knudsen Museum of Modern Art, located in Aalborg in northern Denmark, basically paid him $4,000 to recreate these piece of art for an exhibit. And in doing so, he obviously needed the money that was the art in the previous ones. So they also gave him $84,000 in actual money to create the art. But instead of creating the art, this guy mailed them two blank canvases entitled Take the Money and Run, and has not given the money back and is refusing to give the money back.
That is thievery.
Because he's calling it a commentary on basically today's modern capitalist movement or whatever.
I hope he gets arrested.
Well, it's funny because the museum actually isn't that angry about it. They're like, oh yeah, we kind of see the art that he's doing, but the contract says that money that we gave him was actually a loan, so he has to pay it back contractually or we're gonna have to take him to court. Like, I get what he's doing, but the money wasn't given to him that he wouldn't have to pay back. And he basically said, that's part of the art, is that I'm breaking the contract, so it's a piece of art. I'm like, okay.
This is why I'm not an artist. I don't understand.
It reminds me of the people who like are so stuck in their ways that they refuse to change their views. Like, this guy's view is, it's art, My excuse for any of my act is it's art.
You can't arrest me. It's art.
I spray painted a cop car as commentary on these fascist pigs. It's art. It's like still a real cop car. Like, you will still go to jail for that. Like, I don't care about your views on policing as it is. Still not allowed to do that. Like, I want to do that at work. Like, I want to just claim, like, really poor behavior is just art. Why did you take the boss's Tesla? Art. It's art. I'm commenting on how it's more comfortable than my car. My old boss had a Bentley. I should have taken that. Second this week, Alan comes from our friends at NPR. Rare Pokemon Oreos are selling for thousands of dollars on eBay.
Now, are these Oreos that are Pokemon flavored?
That would be gross. No, but they... I guess, like, there's indentations in the cookies that look like Pikachu and Charmander and Charmeleon and Charizard. I don't know any other Pokemon.
You only know the four.
Jigglypuff, is he a Pokemon?
That is a Pokemon.
Yeah, okay. So there we go. Oh, and Squirtle. But anyway, I digress. We ranked our favorite Pokemon. There's that one that's an apple pie. I like that guy, too.
Oh, right.
Appleton. Appleton is my man.
I wonder if he is.
If I would pay thousands of dollars for an Appleton Oreo.
I'd pay for an Appleton flavored Oreo.
But this article doesn't surprise me because it's like people are crazy about collecting stuff, right? Like,
especially Pokemon.
Well, you know me, like I flip sports cards, right? And people will not even research how much things is worth and just give me money for it because they like that player, right? Like, it's just, so that doesn't surprise me. Pokemon's designed to be collectible and blah, blah. But the funny part is... the eBay listings are like, this was only touched with tongs and immediately placed into a vacuum sealed case and like all this stuff.
It's a mint condition cookie.
Yum.
All right.
That is what I look for in my cookies.
If I saw a post online that said something about mint condition Oreos, I'd straight up think they were just mint Oreos. Like, that's not a joke.
These are of the mint condition. It's like, oh, there's that Australian guy with his fancy words again.
Yeah. Ah, mint condition. You mean flavored.
You mean flavored. Go to the promenade. Stop with your big fancy words, Australia. Who do you think you are, England? And finally this week, Alan, this one is just, I picked it because it's personal to you. It comes from our friends at Food Beast.
Oh, your favorite.
It is. A&W launches high-end merchandise line called Cheddar Weather. Now, I'll reiterate, you love A&W.
I do. I have A&W.
You love Canadian A&W. Yes. Which is actually a separate company to American A&W. We have had American A&W, but it's not nearly as good as Canadian A&W.
We went out of our way to compare them, have both in the same day and compare them, and... one of them was kind of garbage, and it happened to be the American one.
Very disappointing. But I picked it because they have this beautiful, actually, line of, like, retro clothes that they made. There's, like, handmade A&W boots.
There's Letterman jackets.
A Letterman jacket. The boots are $700 US. The Letterman jacket's, like, $500 US. And for you, they have... an A&W-themed fanny pack.
Yeah, of course.
Which you have carried about your whole life, because it has your life-saving medical devices in them.
We don't just wear them because they're cool.
Yeah, but now you can wear a $350 A&W fanny pack.
Oh, $350? Why do these guys even sell food?
I only thought, I saw it because... I looked up the fanny packs. I'm like, I should get this for Alan for Christmas. He would love this. And then I was like, I don't love him that much. I wonder if it even has room for like a Papa Burger. Like, I wonder. Like, you can't even fit any A&W in it.
Why would you be shoving food into your fanny pack?
But the other thing this does is this tells you all you need to know about American A&W. It's not even themed off of hamburgers. It's themed off of the fact that in American A&W, they offer deep fried cheese curds instead of fries if you want that. And that's why it's called Cheddar Weather, because it's like, it's this whole food clothing line is based around our cheese curd snacks. It's like, you're a hamburger place and root beer. Like, that's what you're known for.
But they don't have the burger family in the States.
No. But they have stuff. Like, they have hamburgers. They have root beer, but they're like, nope, we're choosing this cheese. I don't know. That tells you
They know their strength.
I mean, I'll say it. When I went to the American A&W with you, the best thing was the deep fried cheese curds.
Yep.
The rest of it looked like vomit and tasted kind just of okay. It tasted just okay.
Yeah.
Well, before we end this week's journey, we just want to remind you, check us out on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast or hit us up on email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. Alan, what is the ship fact for this week?
This week's ship fact is... A flying boat is actually a plane. It's a fixed-wing seaplane that has a hull that allows it to land directly on the water with no landing gear for land, which is different from a float plane because a float plane has an actual landing gear for water instead of just landing the body of the plane in the water, which is technically kind of a boat fact because it's called a flying boat, but this was the answer to the question, can a ship fly?
So a float plane, it doesn't really, I guess they're counting the landing gear as like those buoy things that hang off the side. And there's such thing as a flying boat.
It just lands like the body of the plane directly into the water.
What? How does it take off then?
I don't know. I'm not a plane scientist. I'm a boat scientist. True.
If this was a ship fact, if this was a ship, you would have no problem.
Exactly.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I want to see one of those. That will check out a picture of a, what's it called? A flying boat?
A flying boat.
A flying boat on our Instagram this Sunday at RandomShipThePodcast. Thank you all, as always, for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. I also don't know what's the crack is, but I've been waiting to use it because I found it a while ago and I was like, this apparently is a way people say hi.